I have 422 friends, yet I'm lonely. I speak to all of them every day, yet none of them really. I have 422 friends, yet I'm lonely. I speak to all of them every day, yet none of them really know me. The problem I have sits in the spaces between, looking into their eyes or at a name on a screen. I took a step back and opened my eyes. I looked around and realized that this media we call social is anything but when we open our computers and it's our doors we shut. All this technology we have, it's just an illusion. Community, companionship, a sense of inclusion. Yet when you step away from this device of delusion, you awaken to see a world of confusion. A world where we're slaves to the technology we mastered, where information gets sold by some rich, greedy bastard. A world of self-interest, self-image, self-promotion, where we all share our best bits but leave out the emotion. We're at our most happy with an experience we share, but is it the same if no one is there? Be there for your friends, and they'll be there too, but no one will be if a group message will do. We edit and exaggerate, crave adulation. We pretend not to notice the social isolation. We put our words into order until our lives are glistening. We don't even know if anyone is listening. Being alone isn't the problem. Let me just emphasize, if you read a book, paint a picture, or do some exercise, you're being productive and present, not reserved and recluse. You're being awake and attentive and putting your time to good use. So when you're in public and you start to feel alone, put your hands behind your head, step away from the phone. You don't need to stare at your menu or at your contact list. Just talk to one another. Learn to coexist. I can't stand to hear the silence of a busy commuter train where no one wants to talk through the fear of looking insane. We're becoming unsocial. It no longer satisfies to engage with one another and look into someone's eyes. We're surrounded by children who, since they were born, have watched us living like robots and think it's the norm. It's not very likely you'll make world's greatest dad if you can't entertain a child without using an iPad. When I was a child, I'd never be home. Be out with my friends on our bikes who would roam. I'd wear holes in my trainers and graze up my knees. We'd build our own clubhouse high up in the trees. Now the park's so quiet, it gives me a chill. See no children outside and the swings hanging still. There's no skipping, no hopscotch, no church and no steeple. We're a generation of idiots, smartphones and dumb people. So look up from your phone, shut down the display. Take in your surroundings, make the most of the day. Just one real connection is all it can take to show you the difference that being there can make. Be there in the moment that she gives you the look that you remember forever as when love overtook. The time she first holds your hand or first kiss your lips. The time you first disagree but still love her to bits. The time you don't have to tell hundreds of what you've just done because you want to share this moment with just this one. The time you sell your computer so you can buy a ring for the girl of your dreams who is now the real thing. The time you want to start a family and the moment when you first hold your little girl and get to fall in love again. The time she keeps you up at night and all you want is rest. And the time you wipe away the tears as your baby flees the nest. The time your baby girl returns with a boy for you to hold. And the time he calls you granddad and makes you feel real old. The time you take in all you've made just by giving life attention. And how you're glad you didn't waste it by looking down at some invention. The time you hold your wife's hand, sit down beside her bed. You tell her that you love her, lay a kiss upon her head. She then whispers to you quietly, as the heart hits the final beat, that she's lucky she got stopped by that lost boy in the street. But none of these times ever happened. You never had any of this. When you're too busy looking down, you don't see the chances you miss. Look up from your phone, shut down those displays. We have a finite existence, a set number of days. Don't waste your life getting caught in the net, as when the end comes, nothing's worse than regret. I'm guilty too of being part of this machine, this digital world we are heard but not seen, where we type as we talk and we read as we chat, where we spend hours together without making eye contact. So don't give in to a life where you follow the hype. Give people your love, don't give them your like. Disconnect from the need to be heard and defined. Go out into the world, leave distractions behind. Look up from your phone, Shut down that display. Stop watching this video. Live life the real way.
Good morning. How are you? Fine? Better? Fine with feeling fine? Yes? Right. So, how was your morning today? Early morning? Very nice. I can see a smile on your faces and a spark in the eyes. Wow. It's a very good change within one day, you know. Half a day, right? Not one day, even half a day. Yes. How many of you could participate in the morning session, early morning session? Wow, congratulations. And give big hands to yourself. And I tell you one thing. You can do one more thing, you know. When you feel, yes, I want to congratulate myself, I tell you one exercise, a simple exercise, okay? And it's very good and very easy exercise. Just do like this with me. Stretch your hand. Stretch. Go up slowly. Go up. And now say, wah, well done. Say this, well done. Shabash. Very good. So, it's time for the morning session, and I'm here to introduce Sister Aruna. As you already know her, yesterday we had a quite very nice theme about the understanding about the theme. And Sister Aruna, she has an interesting and charming blend of two cultures, East and West, and feels very much at ease anywhere in the world with all kinds of cultures. Born in Kenya, she was educated in England, lives in Canada, the Middle East, and the various other parts of the world. However, she considers India to be her spiritual home. So, welcome, sister, at your spiritual home. And this is Mount Abu is the best place as our home. Today, she is going to talk about transformation. And as you know, she is also the author of, she has written 7 books, and Sister Aruna is a certified negotiator of conflict resolution. And a book entitled Conflict Resolution is available for a free download from her blog and is widely in use. So you can also take the benefit of this book. And today's subject as Wisdom for Transformation, you know, we all talk about transformation and we all want to bring that transformation into our lives, but sometimes it becomes difficult. Sometimes I want to, but I can't. So she will help us how to bring that transformation, because it is said change is inevitable, but transformation is by conscious choice. So today is the time to choose, because choice is freedom and choice is personal decision, and personal transformation can and does have global effects. As we go, so goes the world. If I change, Brahma Kumari's motto is also, if when I change, the world changes. So it's to Sister Aruna about wisdom for transformation.
And I think we have to give a big hand to Padma Ben for all her facilitation and master of ceremony. She's doing a great job, right? Do you agree? If you agree, shake your hand. Yeah. Thank you. That's one of the beautiful things that we do here in the Brahma Kumaris, and that is we appreciate each other. I cannot do what somebody else is doing and they can't do what I'm doing. So let me at least appreciate what they are doing. So good morning, Om Shanti. And as I've already heard, you've had a good day, you've had a good night, a good morning. And now let's begin the day. So I have some slides, but I'll just give a little intro, then I'll move to the slides, then we'll do a short meditation. And then I'll open it up to question and answers. So I thought it's best to begin with my own journey of transformation. Because when I came onto this path, I was quite young, because my parents were practicing meditation. So I just used to go along to the center, because my mother used to go to the center. So I used to tag along with her. But it was on 18th of January, which is the special day of remembrance of Prajapita Brahma. He's behind there. And it was his day of remembrance, the day he left his body in 69. And so all the centers have special programs. So on that day, I went, as usual, with my mom. And it was in 1983, 18th of January, that I feel that I had my awakening. And it's from that point onwards that I measure my number of years on this path. Although my parents received the knowledge in 1974 in London. So on that day, what happened is, I can't really describe it till today, but just something awoke in me, telling me that I had to do this. I had to practice what was being taught. So at that time, I was only 14 years old. But as I said, something awoke in me, and I just felt that this is the truth. And I'll tell you one reason why there was that awakening. So again, as usual, I came home at lunchtime for my lunch. And mom used to go to the morning class. And every day she would try and give me one point of knowledge. So that day when I came home for lunch, she's of course made me hot roti and sabji. And then she said to me, my nickname is Anu, so she said, Anu, look, everything that you see with these eyes is going to be destroyed. But the one thing that will not be destroyed is the soul. And such a simple point, right? But I left from there and my friend would join me. She'd go home, she'd join me, we'd go to school again. And I told her, I said, her name is Nisha. I said, Nisha, you know what? Everything that we see with these eyes is going to be destroyed. But the soul is the only thing that won't be destroyed. And I said, I don't believe my mom. Let's try and find something that will not be destroyed. So that whole week, I remember going around looking for something that will not be destroyed. And I couldn't find anything. So that convinced me that, wow, you know, mom is becoming smart. By going to the center, mom's becoming clever. So I ask you the same question. Look around you right now. And everything that's been created, right? The microphone, the chair, the TV, table, every single thing that is man-made will be destroyed. But the one thing that will never be destroyed is the soul. And then this point just gave me so much, we say in Hindi, no? Sukoon, shanti, peace of mind. That from that point onwards, I thought, this is what I want to cultivate. I want to develop that inner strength, inner power. Because that will stay with me all the time. I don't want something temporary that I hold on to, that I then have to let go of. I have to detach from it at some point. So I want to develop something that's deep from within that will always stay with me. And that's why I started the journey. That's how I started the journey. So when it comes to actually peace of mind, we're all looking for it in different ways, in different forms. And even though you might think you're happy, but you're not 100% happy. And I don't think I can be happy if my neighbor isn't happy. In other words, the whole world has to be happy for us to be totally happy. So as I become happy, I start to share that happiness with others. And hopefully with time, this happiness spreads and becomes contagious. And then hopefully we're able to create heaven on earth. And that's the only time that I'm totally happy and everybody's happy with me. So until that point, yes, I can be happy, I can be content, but I have a responsibility, and that is to share my happiness with others. It's not enough that I'm just happy. And that's why we do the work that we do, because we are happy in what we do. And sometimes people say that we are like Buddhas because, you know, we don't get so upset over things, or we don't start crying over things. And they say, well, you should. And we say, well, no, not really. When you have wisdom, when you have knowledge, when you have understanding, then you don't take sorrow. Fear is what? Fear is absence of knowledge. If you are afraid of a cat or a dog, it's because you don't have proper understanding of them. You don't know how to relate to them. You don't know what their moves mean to you. If a dog jumps on you, he probably loves you. He probably wants you to love him back. But we take that as an attack because we're ignorant of the behavior of animals. So many fears we have because we don't have understanding of what happens behind the scene. And that's why we take a lot of sorrow. So I always say pain is inevitable, but sorrow is optional. Right? You may have physical pain, you may have pain from breaking a bone or something, but sorrow, suffering, is to do with the mind. And that is optional. So yes, we can be happy even though we might be in pain. So when we talk about inner transformation, I took off on this IT, and IT meaning it, and it can mean many things. But in terms of IT, if we split I and T, we're always using the word I. Everything we do, we're using the word I. So as I said yesterday, who is that I? What is that I? When I say I, Aruna, or I, Lakshman, or I, Peter, or whatever, am I referring to I, the body, or I, the spirit? Spirit? Body. So body's name is Aruna. But the real I? Like who's talking right now? Is it Aruna? It's Aruna talking? Yes? It's not Aruna talking, because Aruna is just the name of this body. I had another existence before. Maybe I was Sita. Maybe I was something else. So this is just my physical existence. But I am a soul. And the soul doesn't have a name. Okay? So this is my point, that when we remove the I of the ego, what are we left with? We're left with T, the truth. I, the ego. The ego is the biggest block to our self-transformation. Because the ego makes us think that we know. And once we know, we cannot learn anymore. Once I think I know, that means I'm full. Right? There's that story, some of you must have heard it. So one man comes to a master to learn some knowledge. And so the master offers him a cup of tea. So he said, sure. So they sit and have a cup of tea. So the master keeps pouring the tea into the cup. And he keeps pouring and pouring, and the young man says, oh, please stop, you have to stop, it's overflowing. And he said, well, this is the case for your mind. When your mind is full, you cannot put any more into the mind. So we have to unlearn the ego. Ego makes us serious. Ego makes us think everything is important. This is why we get upset, because we think, I'm important, my time is important, this appointment is important, my seat is important, my position is important. Ego makes us think everything is important. I give it so much weight and value that I forget who I am. I forget my purpose. I forget why I'm here. So this is the truth. The truth is, Who am I really? And what do I really want? In fact, I used to have a friend in Australia, and he used to have this as his voicemail in those old days, you know, when you used to have the telephone. And his voicemail was, who are you really and what do you really want? And of course he was a Brahma Kumar, so he wanted you to think deeper. What do you really want? So let's talk about wisdom and then we'll talk about transformation. So when we talk about wisdom, it's kind of taking off on the kingdom. In other words, the domain of wisdom is the area of wisdom, the mastery over the knowledge. Just as kingdom means I'm the master of my kingdom, so wisdom means I'm the master of the knowledge that I contain. So the dictionary definition is the quality of having experience, knowledge, good judgment, the quality of being wise. So just take a moment to reflect now. In between, I'm going to keep asking you certain questions. So just take a moment to reflect. Would you call yourself wise? You don't have to answer to me. Just think about it. Would you call yourself wise? And if so, on what basis would you call yourself wise? Okay, just think about it and see what answers come. So the difference between knowledge and wisdom is knowledge is information and wisdom is applied knowledge. So this is the picture of the touch of God. So when God touches us, God is the ocean of truth, the master of truth. We say, no? Gyan ka sagar. So when we are touched by that ocean of truth, we cannot but help start living the truth. How do I know that I'm living my truth? I'll be happy. I'll be content. I'll need less. I won't be restless. I won't be stressful. I won't be confused. I'll have the answers. This is how I know when I'm living the truth. And truth doesn't need to be proved. I don't need to prove to you how happy I am, how content I am, how much I have. No. I just need to know that. Once I'm sure of that, that will reflect. So that's the difference between the ego and the truth. The ego is always trying to prove. And the truth doesn't need to prove. The truth just is. When something is the truth, it just is, right? But when you tell a lie, you have to tell so many lies to cover that one lie. And you have to remember all the lies you said before. But when it's the truth, just the truth. Yes, I did that. Yes, I'm wrong. That's the truth. So truth is simple. Truth is uncomplicated. Truth is pure. Truth is divine. So once again, ego versus the truth. When I'm living my truth, I'm in pure self-esteem. When I'm in ego, I'm in arrogance. And this is the shift we need to make in meditation, from the body consciousness to soul consciousness. Body consciousness is filled with everything connected with the body. Yes, what I have, how much I've achieved, where I live, my bulky bank account. And the self-esteem, you can still have the self-esteem without having anything. And this is what the Dadis proved to us. This is what Brahma Baba proved to us. He gave up everything he had for the work of the organization. He didn't keep a single penny to his name. He didn't think, oh, maybe one day I will need a few thousand. Let me keep it for myself. He renounced everything. And he lived in that trust. He lived with that faith. So there's this story of a man who went to see the holy man. As he went to see the holy man, he knocked on the door. And this servant looking person showed him through the house. It was a big long house, so they took him through the house. And then he took him to the back door. And he said, now you may go. So this man said, but I came to see the holy man. He said, you just did. That servant looking person was the holy man. But we're always looking for somebody great, or somebody dressed in a certain way, somebody sitting on some high chair. So ego, truth, self-respect, this is the shift. This is the wisdom, actually. Knowledge is the information, but that is the wisdom. So I'm going to point out five wisdoms that I think are important, and I hope you do too. So who am I? Who am I? I am an eternal, immortal, imperishable being. No fire can burn me. No water can drown me, no sword can cut me. As I told you my story, when I really realized I'm a soul, I felt such a feeling of freedom. Such a feeling of freedom that I'm never going to die. And at that time we were going through the Cold War between America and Russia. So as a young child, you know, you don't know what's going on. There's a lot of fear. And you just hear half the things. So when I had this truth, I just felt, yes, I have something very comforting to hold on to. So again, I'd like you now, just now, take a moment again. I'd like you to feel your eternity. Right now, I'd like you to just self-realize that I will always, always live on. I will never be destroyed. I am eternal. And really feel that. Say it in your mind quietly with conviction. And really feel that I am eternal. So even if this body passes, I am eternal. Okay, wisdom number two. What am I made of? What am I made of? I'm made up of divine qualities. Just as this body is made up of mass, volume, matter, bones, blood, water, the soul is made up of light, pure light. And each light reflects as a divine quality. So when I say I'm peace, can you see the peace? Can you literally see peace with your eyes? No. But the light reflects. The light of peace reflects, right? Okay, love. Can you see love? You can't literally see love, but you feel the light of love. You all feel love here at the Brahma Kumaris? Yes? Yeah, it's not like when you give a gift to somebody, where is the love? In the box? Where is the love? In that exchange. No matter how big the gift is or small the gift is, it's the gesture of love. So this is what happens, is when I start to connect with my innate qualities. Can you see them? Yeah. Peaceful, loving, kind, compassion. When I start to connect with these divine qualities, I start to emerge them. I always say that we just have to remember. Remember, remember, reconnect. Imagine there's a child. Okay, imagine there's a child who has amnesia. Amnesia means he forgot, he forgets everything. But say he woke up and he realized, wow, I'm the child of this king. He came out of that amnesia, that deep sleep. Then imagine the joy. Imagine the comfort. So it's the same for us. When I realize I am these divine qualities, and I have them right here inside of me. It's not that I have to get them from somewhere. Can you go and buy peace at the shop? At the local store, which your DMart, is it DMart? Can you buy peace there? No. Can you buy respect? No. So where is it? It's here. But when I don't get in touch with it inside, when I don't know, when I don't remember, then I go looking for it outside. For example, in your house you may have a toolkit, you may have certain knives, you may have your, you know, golf clubs. But if they are stored somewhere and you don't know, you don't remember, then you have to go and buy. But the moment you remember, no, I have a set in that cupboard, in that closet, in the attic, you just go and get it. So meditation reminds us that I have these qualities inside of me. I just have to get in touch. And when I get in touch, it's like a power, it's activated. It's like that genie's lamp, you know, just remember, touch on it, and it gets activated. So how is patience activated? How is patience activated? By remembering, I'm patient. Not a patient. I am patient. And just being patient. Practicing patience. Loving, I'm loving. Be loving. Be loving. Practice being loving. And I'm loving. It's really as simple as that. But you have to be the one to activate it. And that's what makes us so beautiful, is when we bring out the divine virtues in us. And no matter how beautiful somebody may be on the cover magazine, but they're not beautiful unless they show their divine qualities. Think about it. Your real beauty is the inner beauty, not just the outer beauty. So wisdom number 3 is, where do I live? So surely if I have a body, then yes, I have a bodily home. But if I'm a soul, is the earth my home? Is the earth my home? No? Not sure? Sorry? The earth is not our home, yes. So this earth is, as we say, no? Karma Kshetra, where I come to play my part. But my home is the sweet silence home. Right? It only makes sense that I, the soul, have a different home, which is beyond the sun, the moon, and the stars. Somewhere far, far away from this physical world. because the soul is not physical. So it has to stay in a metaphysical world. And this world is also just a world of light. So again, the beauty of this wisdom is that I can just take myself away from here with my conscious awareness and become free from the pull of this world, the gravity of this world. And once I'm free from the pull of this world, I'm free. I'm literally free. You know, it's like when you're flying on a plane, everything down seems so small. So when you take your consciousness beyond, everything down here doesn't matter. That's not important. It's trivial. So that's why we have to keep pulling ourselves away from this world and keep remembering our home, the home of light. And another reason why we have to keep remembering that home is because that's where my father lives. My father, my mother, my friend, God. God is my companion. And when I connect with God, I'm connecting with that divine, supreme divine light. And I'm being recharged with His light. Because any time you spend time with somebody, you're being influenced by them, aren't you? Either you're giving or repelling energy. But with God, God doesn't need anything from us. So He only gives. He's the data, the giver, bestower. And so we are taking from that bestower. All we have to do is be present, that's it. And we absorb, like a sponge, we absorb His light, His powers, and we come back much stronger back into this world. And at the end of the day, all of us have to go back home. That's another reason why that home is different. Because we cannot live here. This is not our home. So one day we will all have to go back home. So we say, what do we say in Hindi? Pyar se ya mar se. We will either go home with love or by force. So let us choose to go home with love. Wisdom number 4. What is my purpose? So again, look at everything around you. Everything has a purpose, right? The microphone has a purpose, the chair has a purpose, the table has a purpose, the stage has a purpose, the flowers have a purpose, the camera has a purpose. So what is your purpose? What is your purpose? Just take a moment. Why do you think you are here? Purpose means to give something, right? So the mic is useful for kind of making the information get out there. Table is for putting things on, chair is for sitting on. So what am I here to give? Purpose means to give something of yourself. What am I here to give? And I did this exercise in my teenage years where basically you choose certain verbs, what you like to do. You choose certain feelings, what feelings you like. And by doing certain things, what feelings it brings up in you. Until you come to the last 3 or 4 words. So you select and then you deselect. And then you come to one final word. And my word, my verb was to share. So this is an exercise for you for another time, but it's helpful. Take yourself through this kind of mental exercise, asking yourself, what is it that you like to do in life? And are you doing that? And as Nirvay Bhaiji was saying yesterday, IT is not a field where there's a lot of feeling. It's quite robotic. So how do you put feeling back into your field of work? That will be a trigger for your purpose. So purpose means that I have to be, I have to shine, and I have to inspire. That's my purpose. My purpose is not to do. See, even as I do, I have to be while I do. We say we are human beings, but we are actually human doings. That's why I'm saying when you go to work every day, you have to be, not just do. If you think you're doing, that's why you're losing energy. That's why you're getting tired. But if I'm being, I'm enjoying. The other day, 2 days ago on the plane, somebody asked me, so when do you get holidays? Somebody I don't know, just sitting next to me. I said, well, every day is a holiday for me. Because I enjoy what I do. Yes, I work hard. But because it's a joy, it's not tiring. So when we enjoy what we do, we are just being, we are flowing with the drama. We're in acceptance of the drama. So there's not resistance. And let me say that you can only be your happiest when you are being. Not when you're doing. Because when you're doing, there's lots of other measures. Am I doing good enough? Are other people appreciating me? Do they value me? There's a lot of other measures in that. But when I'm being, I'm just being for myself. And nobody needs to measure your happiness. Nobody needs to count or judge your happiness. When you say you're happy, you're happy. Okay, wisdom number 5. What is my role? What am I here to play out? Role as in act. And our answer to this question is that I'm a hero actor. We all have to assume that we have the best part. I have the best part on this drama, field of drama. And when you think that I'm the hero actor, think of all the heroes in the movies. They're always victorious. They always bring out the best in themselves, in others. They kind of save the world. The hero always brings a happy ending to the story. So the hero is the savior. In every movie, the good always wins over evil. So is the hero the evil? The hero is mostly the good, right? The hero is not the evil force. So what is my role? My role is to, as I said earlier, to be, to share, to inspire. And there's a difference between role and part. So like in a movie, somebody may have the part of being a maid, but their role is to spy on that household. The part is just the part that's been given to you. Well, how you're supposed to act. But the role is something greater. It has a higher purpose. And I'm mentioning this because we all are playing our parts in our drama. You may have to be a husband, a father, a boss, a colleague. That's your part. But your role is to spread the peace. Your role is to bring the light, to share your happiness. That's your role. We can have any part, it doesn't matter. As you see here, the Brahma Kumaris, everybody is doing everything. That doesn't make them any less. The brother who's been driving me, he's actually quite educated. But he's been given the seva to drive. But I don't see him just as a driver. He's my brother. He's a soul brother. He's doing seva. I'm doing another kind of seva. We're all great. See, so when you're at work, doesn't matter what you're doing, remember, what is my role here? My role is to bring the peace, to create the peace, to bring in the light. So let's look at transformation. So again, dictionary definition is a marked change in form, nature, or appearance. And the good example is this metamorphosis. When you see the caterpillar, it looks so ugly. But if you give it time, it will turn into a butterfly. And I remember this story where this one man thought, you know, in this middle stage, where the caterpillar is in this, what do you call it, this, cell? Cocoon, yeah. It's in this little cocoon. And he thought, let me help this, you know, butterfly to come out, because he was struggling to come out. So he tried to help this butterfly come out, so he tore the cocoon, and the butterfly came out. But the butterfly couldn't flap his wings. In other words, he was not ready yet to come out. So being in the cocoon teaches the butterfly how to flap its wings. It makes its wings stronger. So when it comes out of that cocoon, it can fly easily. So isn't this what we do sometimes with our impatience? We try to hurry the process and then we come out deformed. So be patient with your process of change. Be patient with your process of transformation. By the way, is there anybody perfect here? Is there anyone perfect? Anyone perfect can stand up? No. So what does that mean? We are all in process. We are not perfect. Even Brahma Kumaris, we don't claim to be perfect. We aim for perfection. But we're not perfect by any means. But we're on the path, we say. We're on the train. And we will get there. We will get to our destination. So, see your transformation. Once you realize something, you transform, right? Once you realize this is not the way to do it, this is the way to do it, you change yourself. Mostly we change ourselves. So why should I transform? Why should I transform? That's the big question. Again, yesterday, Bhavish Bhai, right? He was mentioning that IT people get a very high salary. And that's the incentive, right? To work in IT. Well, do you know how much salary we get? In fact, Dadi Janki often says she wants a good accountant to count her income. Which income? Spiritual income. No, we don't get monetary income, but we get a lot of spiritual income. And that is happiness, peace of mind, love, blessings. You can't even buy those things, even if you tried. So why do we want to transform? We want to transform because we want to perfect ourselves. We all know we can be better people. We know we can be happier. We know we can be kinder. We know we can be more generous. We know we can be more tolerant, more powerful. We all know we can be more than what we are. That's why we want to transform. See, we have all these qualities in the soul, right? Like this. Each one is a quality. And we are a percentage in each quality. And we want to make each quality 100%. That is perfection. Having all the qualities in 100%. That's the aim. And the only way that happens is by exercising those things. Like we say, if you don't use it, you lose it. So just practice. Just practice. Practice being nice. Practice being kind. Practice being happy. And with time, you will. You will. You really do. So yes, yesterday Karuna Baiji mentioned the image at the back of Sri Lakshmi and Sri Narayan. Again, it's the symbol of perfection. The perfect man, the perfect woman. So when Lakshmi is standing next to Narayan, does she say, oh Narayan, you know, come and help me? Does Lakshmi feel weak standing next to Narayan? No. Lakshmi is equally in her power. That's why they're both side by side. She's not holding his hand, his arm. Lakshmi is full. Narayan is full. So two complete people coming together. And what do people say nowadays? Oh, meet my other half. Meet my other half. So your half? That other half is completing you? Are they really completing you? No. They make you a quarter, right? So we have to become whole. One plus one. That is perfection. Complete. Perfect. Sampuran. And this, I love this because what we're doing at the Brahma Kumaris is transforming at the deepest level. Transformation at the deepest level. And okay, one is sanskars, one is vritti, the subconscious, but we want to transform at the chit level. The chit is the innermost memory core of the soul, where there is not even a trace of any negativity. No knowledge of desire. Absolute pure. And I believe that when Brahma Baba was working with the dadis when they were young in the beginning, he really cleaned out their chit. So let me give you an example. I was once with Dadi Gulzar. This was back in the 80s. So Dadi Janki sent me to Delhi for a few days, for a week, and I stayed with Dadi Gulzar in Pandavabhavan, Delhi. And so I was just hanging around with her when she wakes up, when she eats. And one time she was getting ready. So she was in the mirror just doing her hair. She used to do it herself in those days. And one sister came shouting, Dadi this, this, Dadi this, that, Dadi this, that. And Dadi just continued doing what she was doing, and she said, Acha. She said, Acha. The other girl was, in a way, attacking Dadi. But Dadi's response? Very detached, very cool, very calm. She didn't take it on. She didn't make it personal to her. See, when you have an ego, then the ego can get scratched. When you have an ego, the ego can get dented. But if there is no ego, you're not defending anything. You're not defending the ego. There's no ego to defend. So Baba has cleaned out their chit, means from inside, she didn't feel defensive. She came out with her purest response, which was, Acha. It's like that, is it? So as you can see, that memory stayed with me because that's what I'd love to be doing. With every, you know, situation, Can you say Acha? Acha. Is it like that? Or do I have to get in and start fighting or arguing or defending? So that's the inner core, right? From the inside out. Okay, so we'll have a few minutes meditation. I'd just like to mention the line from the song. Abhi divya karo apne jeevan ko. Which means make your life divine. So there's a difference between having a virtue and making it a divine virtue. So you can have honesty. Honesty is honesty. But when you make it a divine verb, divine honesty, then it's really from the understanding of being a soul. Spiritual honesty, but honesty on all levels. Not just honesty that I speak the truth. But I'm honest. What I think, what I say, what I do, that is honest. When I love, but when it's divine love, I love everybody equally. That's divine quality. Do you see the difference? So it's all encompassing, it's for everyone, it's equally. So just to think about that too. Because we mentioned the qualities, but divine qualities. So yeah, transformation at the deepest level. So if I'm cleaning out the chit, then automatically my vritti means attitude, my drishti, my kriti means action, will be good. And therefore my sanskars will be good. So this is the level at which we're working on in the soul. When we meditate, we are working on the innermost level of transformation. Like for example, brahmacharya, purity we say. Maybe some people follow purity because they just have to. But here we try to follow purity of thought, word and deed. Not even to have the slightest impure thoughts for others. Not impure as in just lustful, but just don't think badly about others. You know, even to say, ye kabhi change nahi honga. You know, this one's never going to change. That's a bad thought. Ya to ye to kabhi nahi karta hai. You know, he never does that. He never helps, etc. These are bad thoughts. Who am I to condemn this person? To label this person? So purity on the deepest level, the inner core level. When I transform, then I start attracting new things into my life. Which is why the question, what am I attracting in my life right now? Am I happy with what I'm attracting in my life? Just ask yourself now, what am I attracting? For some people, everything's going from positive to better to best. For others, constant losses, damages, insults, criticism. What happens is we build a momentum with our thoughts. If you have one positive thought, just start with one positive thought. By the evening, it will become a positive, powerful thought. By the next morning, positive, powerful, encouraging thought. You see, it builds momentum. And it's the same for negative as well. If I have a negative thought, oh, nothing works around here. Nobody's good enough. This place is terrible. Then you build that momentum. And then what happens? As you build that momentum, that's what you then start attracting back to you. So this is the case. Do you want your life to be memorable or you want it to be average? So if I want it to be memorable, I have to create memorable moments. That means starting now. That means now, every person you meet, make it a good memory. At tea time, when you talk to someone, not just superficial, hi, hello, how are you, where are you from? No, make it a memorable moment. When you sit and have lunch, really, truly be interested in the other person. Otherwise, yes, sit in silence. Make that a memorable moment by sitting in silence. In other words, start being more conscious of how you are living your life. Not just superficially. Be mindful, be conscious. Right? Each word, each thought, each deed. So make it memorable. So yeah, I have the power in my hands to transform my life in such a way that I can attract what I want. It takes time. Just as a seed takes time to grow, but you will, if you water it every day with attention. So, this is the old formula for transformation, right? When we wanted things, what did we do? When we wanted to become something, what did we do? We did something, right? So you got yourself an education, you got yourself a good job, you got yourself a good wife or a husband, got yourself a nice house, and then you were happy, right? Being is happy, right? You did, you got, have, right? And then you were happy. What's the new formula? What's the new formula? Peace. The new formula. Be, have, and do. So be happy. Be grateful. Be accepting. Be loving. Then you will have. That's really the case of this organization. They started practicing it themselves first. And then the resources came. As people saw them, the resources came. And then they're doing more work. That's how the sound has spread into 135 countries. So first be. Don't think if I have more money, then I can be more happy. No, first be happy. Then you will have the money. Even the money will say, go to this person, they're happy, they'll know what to do with it. Money doesn't come to a grumpy person. Money goes to a happy person. So it's my responsibility. Again, no blame. Where I'm at in my life, there shouldn't be any blame. I take total responsibility for where I'm at in my life. Every single day, I make a choice. So you can sit on that side and see the view, or the other side and see the rocks. Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? Mine. Yeah. So transformation is in my hands. That's the point. And I'm responsible, responsibility. I can respond to life situations once I have those inner powers. So I'd like to end with this. This is the methodology for inner transformation. Just summing it up, what I was saying earlier. I need silence, I need space, I need stillness. I need discipline and determination. So every day, no matter what you do, even if it's one thing, like Bhavishbhai was saying, 1 hour a day. Maybe for you it's half an hour a day. Maybe for you it's thinking about something per day. But make it a discipline. Make it a routine, no matter what. You have to include that in your day. Be determined. Then it's very important to connect with God, the Source. Because we can meditate. Many people ask me this question, can I not meditate just by thinking myself to be a soul? Why do I have to think about God? And you can meditate. Just think of yourself as a soul. You can. But if you want power, then you have to connect with God. And you take that power for self-transformation. Other meditations help you to relax. But this meditation really helps you to change. This is really my experience. Because we take power from God. We can't do this on our own. We need the power from God. We all had good thoughts, right? Before you came, I'm sure you said, I want to be free from my anger. I want to be a nicer person. I want to be authentic. But what stops us? It's just the power. The power is missing. So here, we get the power from Baba, from God. And then, as I'm in action, I need to practice awareness, abundance consciousness. Practice that you have already these divine virtues. You have everything inside of you. Be aware, as I said, of everything that you're doing and how everything has a ripple effect. It's not just one thing. Don't just say, ye to aise hi keh diya, aise hi bol diya. Nay. Even that will have a ripple effect. Sometimes we say, oh, I was joking. No. Even that will have a ripple effect. You've planted the seed. The seed has to return its fruit. So just to be more and more mindful. So these are the three questions I'd like you to think about now. So maybe we can have red light. and music. The first question: what would you like to attract right now in your life? Just let's think about that question together. Don't jump to the next one. Just think about it. What would you like to attract in your life right now? Right now can mean now, this moment, today, or it can mean the next few months. अपने जीवन में क्या आकर्षित करना चाहेंगे आप? Think of the kind of life you want to live. How you want to be responding to life situations. Your state of being. Okay, question number two. When do you feel most alive? When do you feel most alive? Alive and energetic. What are you doing? What do you see yourself doing or being that you feel most alive? Visualize more of that. Okay, third question. And I'd like you to finish the sentence in your mind. I slow myself down by... What are the ways in which you will slow yourself down? Whether it's slowing your thinking, your speaking, your doing. What will you do to slow yourself down? Okay, now just let us turn within. Take a few moments to just go inside. Get in touch with my chit, the inner core. And deep, deep inside of me is that purest part of myself. And I can feel the love inside. I can feel the depth of peace. And there's unending bliss. Just here, right here inside of me. I just create one thought that I am. I am love. I am peaceful. I am powerful. And I just want to return back to that state of perfection once again. Because if I don't, I will not forgive myself. So once again, return back to your seat. The seat that is the center of the forehead. I, the soul, am seated on my seat of self-respect. Om Shanti. So we have 10 minutes and we can take some questions if anybody has. Do we have a roaming mic? Is there a mic? Yeah. There's a few mics. Would anybody like to ask anything? Over here, brother? Okay, next here.
Om Shanti.
Yeah, it's working. Yeah.
Om Shanti. My question is, we have certain desires in life and there are certain sanskar we follow. How we can control our desires and how we can get success in life.
How to control desires and get success in life. So the way you ask the question, it seems like you can only have success if you have desires? Yeah? Is that your understanding? You can only have success if there's desires? See. Okay, can you just continue? Yeah?
There are certain desires which distracts you from your ultimate goal.
Yeah.
So, if you are not in one unidirection, then I think you will not be able to reach the ultimate goal. That's my point.
Yes, see, what starts to happen is once you self-realize yourself, then your goal also changes. Okay? So in body consciousness, this is my goal, this is my path, right? In body consciousness, this is my path, this is my goal. When I start to become soul conscious, my goal is something else. So for example, if I speak for myself, I'm not interested in becoming rich. Because I don't feel that, yes, you need money, but money is not the end to everything. So my goal has shifted now. As I've become soul conscious, I want to do things that are more in alignment with the success of my soul. Do you see? So, slowly, as the answer to your question, slowly as I self-realize myself, then even my desires will be in alignment with my self-realization. So as I become soul conscious, I want to be doing more things for the soul, for the betterment of other souls. Do you see? So it's very rare that you can be soul conscious and have body conscious desires, because there will be body conscious desires, but you'll know about them very quickly. You'll realize the difference. It's like a black spot on white paper. You'll see the difference and you'll be able to tell yourself, no, this is not right. I know I want this, but it's not right. It's not in alignment with my goal. So this is where you have to listen to that Vivek, you know, inside, the inner voice, the conscience. Listen to that Vivek, because it's telling you, it's guiding you, ke ye theek nahi hai, aise nahi karna chahiye. And naturally, you will get success. Yes, next. There were some brothers here as well, so if the mic can come.
Om Shanti.
Okay, Om Shanti.
Is self-respect and self-esteem ego, or is it different?
No, it's the same. Self-respect, self-esteem. Ego is ego. Ego is arrogance. But esteem means to think of yourself in a good way, a high way. But you will know inside, right, whether it's ego or not. But ego is really where you know that you're getting pain from it. Self-esteem is when you get happiness from it. But self-esteem, self-respect is almost the same. Who's got the mic? What are the ways to build soul consciousness? For us, it's daily study. Daily practice, daily study. We have to have this input in our life every day, because we're getting the input from body conscious lessons. See, just by living in the world, we are being influenced by body consciousness a lot. So we need that daily input of soul consciousness every day, which is our early morning meditation, which is our early morning class. This helps to build more soul consciousness. Self-confidence, soul consciousness. Yeah.
Om Shanti, sister. My question is, as you said, everybody is not perfect. You know, the most of the person is sitting here are the IT community. In the IT community, it should be perfect, anything. Like nowadays, the new technology comes, the AI, ML and all. If it is not perfect, it will be disruption for the system. So what is your suggestion for us?
Well, I think there's always margin for human error, no? In any IT, there's always a certain margin for human error. But again, I think when you practice meditation, you can still live in that world, doing the job you're doing, but stay more relaxed. Because again, you realize that what's more important is this inner war, you know? Of keeping the peace rather than fighting that battle of being right or being perfect. And the more relaxed you are, you can do a much better job. I think you all understand that. So yeah, I strive, even here, we strive to aim for the best, the highest, but you can't get stressed over it. That's again why I'm saying you need that daily input every day to keep reminding you that I'm a soul, what is my purpose, where is my home, all these basic points, actually, what I shared with you today. This is what we're reminding ourselves every day. But don't stress yourself over it. It's not worth it. It's really not worth it. I'm sure you've all received those messages where you earn so much money to be happy, and then you get sick, and then you spend all that money to, you know, get well. So learn before the lesson. Yeah.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
First of all, thank you very much for enlightening with beautiful journey of self-transformation. My question to you is, how do I assess my current level of various qualities? Because you mentioned in your presentation that, you know, we have to strive every day to how do we take it to the 100% level. So my question is, how do I assess that? And then periodically, how do I calibrate and make sure that where do I? And my next question is, how do I self-motivate myself for this self-transformation journey on a daily basis?
So, in terms of self-assessing the virtues, I think we will be tested anyway. We are tested, actually. Even when you're driving, you know, am I able to give the other person way? You know, am I generous? Or do I get reactive? When I walk in through the door, am I happy with the receptionist? When I get home, I mean, at every moment we are being tested to exercise our divine qualities. And we just have to keep trying and keep doing it. This is my answer. And drama will tell me, the drama of life will tell me where I'm falling short. So for example, am I able to forgive that person? Am I able to love them despite their weaknesses? Am I able to encourage others even when I feel very tired and I feel somebody should be encouraging me? So life will teach us, and then I know, okay, I need to work more in that area. Then in terms of self-motivation, I mean, for me, I have continually enjoyed this path because I'm constantly learning. And I love to learn, I love to study. So I think you have to find your anchor and see what it is that you love to do. Some people love to do seva, some people love to do yoga, some people love to study the knowledge. It depends really on you. So every day when you feel that you're earning something, when you're getting something, when there's a sense of attainment, then you want to do more of that. And what I want to do, one of my aims for all this time is to really come very close to God. I want to be in the heart of God. And that's why I do what I do, because I want to become purer. As I become purer, I know that I'm able to get into His heart, so to speak, you know. So you have to see what it is that motivates you to want to change, to want to transform. Maybe it's just you want to become a better person. Maybe it's just you want to be a happier person. Maybe you want to be a more powerful person, that you actually think and say and do the right thing at the right time. So find your anchor, that's what I'm saying. Find your point of motivation and then keep doing that every day. And yeah, it won't be the same thing for everyone. Yeah. Yes.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
I have no question to ask. I just want to contribute something more to this. Every word which you spoke was a beautiful gem which has been, you know, taken into my heart. Even the last sentence which you spoke was, I want Him in my heart. And that's also my desire. Coming to the questions of two of my brothers who were here, they spoke about desire and success. I would like to contribute there that there's a beautiful quote which I read, which I would like to share on that. That is, Jaako kachhu nahi chahiye, wahi shahanshah. The person who has no desires, maybe we have to come to that level. Then we are more successful. Coming to the second question of ego, I feel that the biggest antidote of ego is humility. Someone went to the master and said, teach me to be humble. He said, what is there to be proud of? Nothing is yours. this body, nothing, you just name it. There's not a single thing which is yours. And then coming back to the wisdom slide of three, wisdom three, that was the time I was wanting to get up and speak, but I didn't want to disturb. So that was, there's this lovely song by Jim Reed. He says, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. If heaven is not my home, oh Lord, what will I do? The heavens, the angels beckon me with heaven's open door. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Actually, you just reminded me of another quote of, there was a man who came to Buddha and he said, Buddha, I want to feel great. I want to feel like I'm the master of the world. And Buddha just bowed. Buddha just bowed. So he now felt great. Good. Yes.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
Madhi, first of all, thank you for giving such a nice lecture.
Thank you.
And my question to you is, being honest is good. But in today's world, being honest paves the way to spirituality somehow or the other, because given to the world and given to the environment, does it really helpful, or you should mold yourself according to the environment?
As you can see, I get asked this many times.
One more time, just to add, how do we strike a balance between corporate world and inner technology, right? So there are a lot of challenges. If you are honest at work sometime, I think you may lose the race, yeah? So I think my question related to how to strike a balance between inner well-being and corporate well-being.
Okay. Who's the... Padmabhan, you're in charge of time, right? The last question? Yeah, okay. Okay, so first question. Let me ask you, is it good to lie? Is it good to lie, really? Do you want to lie even if you have to compromise? Anyway, I can't hear you, but... It's a rhetoric question, actually. You cannot lie. You cannot lie. If you lie, that's your karma. You see? So, my answer to you is, as I said, many people ask me this question, you know, I have to get angry, I have to lie, I have to cheat in order to, for me to be successful. But then, what kind of success is that? If you've had to lie and cheat to become successful, that's not real success. That's why I keep telling you, what is the bigger battle? The bigger battle is I'm able to stay within my world of divine qualities. And I have to protect that no matter what. If somebody makes me lie for me to achieve something, that means I've lost the war. I've lost the war, and I will not be happy with myself. In fact, one of the reasons why we're not happy is because we keep creating bad karma like this. And there's not much time, but in essence, I'll tell you this story of a friend who was working. He had a company in Australia. This is another friend in Australia. And he had a big company, and he had about 80, 90 employees, and he didn't have much work coming. So when he got a contract, it was a tender for working with submarines. And as you know, submarines are mostly for war, right? For fighting. So he didn't want to take up this contract, but if he didn't take up this contract, they wouldn't have work and the employees would not get paid. So he asked the employees, he said, look, I'm going to let you decide. If we take the contract, then we are going against our values. Okay? We're working with, ammunition. And if I don't take the contract, then all of you may suffer a loss in your salary. So I want you to put inside this box, yes, we should take the contract, or no, we should not take the contract. And everybody said, no, we don't want to take the contract and we will suffer the losses. So what happened is the fact that he didn't take this contract, it got printed in the newspaper. that this man's company was a very ethical company, they let go of a very big government contract, blah, blah, blah. Okay? As a result of that news in the newspaper, 5 other companies came forward to want to work with him because he was ethical. And this is how karma works, you see? So you have to stick to your value, you have to stick to your truth, and just trust that things will work out. And at the end of the day, when you go to bed, you will be happier for it, really. And then regarding the balance of this world and that world, well, there's many. I think I'm not the best person, but there's many of our Brahma Kumaris who are working in the corporate world whilst managing a spiritual life, and they're doing it very successfully. And I think once you become more spiritual, you're able to handle the corporate world much better. So I think at some point, I think some of them should share, maybe not now, but whenever there's a time, a few of our corporate BK, brothers and sisters, I think they should share their experience. But it is possible, and you can strike a balance. Okay, thank you so much. Om Shanti.